Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Bible Strong, teaching the word, preparing the people. It makes us happy each time that you make Bible Strong a part of your day. Christmas is just around the corner. We've been speaking about the birth of Christ for the last day or two. In Matthew chapter 2, we're told about the wise men from the east that had come to worship Jesus. Today, I'm going to be turning to Luke chapter 2, where Luke tells us about the shepherds. Matthew chapter 2 tells us about the rich men that came to worship Jesus, bringing their gold and silver and precious presents. Luke tells us about the poor man, the working man, the man who works out in the field. He too comes to kneel and worship this child Jesus. God sent his son not only to the rich, but to the poor. His grace has appeared to all men, not just to the rich, the privileged, not just to the poor and down and out, but to all men this grace has appeared, which bringeth salvation. I'm going to start out by reading from Isaiah chapter 7. I'll read verse 14. In this verse of scripture, God is speaking to a wicked king, Ahab, and he tells him, "The Lord shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." These words were spoken to Ahab at a time when the kingdom of Judah was in a pretty bad condition. Two kings had leagued themselves together against Israel, and they were there for her destruction. Ahab had exerted all of his ingenuity to defend the city. And Isaiah steps forward and tells him, "Do not be afraid of these two fire bands that had gathered against Judah, for God would utterly destroy both of those nations that had risen up against Judah. Ahab need not fear, for both himself and his kingdom should be saved." Ahab looked at Isaiah as if to say, if the Lord would send chariots from heaven, could this thing be? If he should bring alive the dust and raise up every stone in Jerusalem to resist this enemy, could this be done? Apparently, God saw his doubt, and God told him to ask a sign, either in the depths or in the heights above. Ask the sign, anything, I'll show you. Instead of accepting this offer with gratitude, Ahab, with a pretended humility, declared that he would not ask, neither would he attempt the Lord his God. And because he wouldn't ask a sign, God says, "Therefore the Lord will give you a sign. You won't ask for one, but I'm going to give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Oh, hallelujah. Ahab wouldn't ask for a sign, but God said, "I'm going to give you one. I'm going to give you one anyway." God knew that Ahab was not humble. He was only putting on a pretense. Even so, God said, "I'm going to show you one." So now let us go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, said the shepherds. "Let us follow that star in the sky," said the eastern wise men. And so that's what I'm going to do now. In speaking of the birth of this child Jesus, that it was going to be a miraculous conception. Be holy virgin shall conceive. This expression is unparalleled, even in sacred writings. Of no other woman could this have been said beside the Virgin Mary, and of no other man could it have been written that his mother was a virgin. So now, let us, as the shepherds, stand and look at it. A child of a virgin, what a mixture. There is the finite and the infinite. There is the mortal and the immortal. The corruption and incorruption. We see the manhood and the godhood. Here we see time married to eternity. God linked with a creature. The unbound one. The one whom the earth could not hold and the heavens could not contain, lying in his mother's arms. What a marvelous conception. What a marvelous birth. We stand, we gaze, and we admire. In this birth, we must notice the humble parentage. It does not say that a princess should conceive and bear a son, but a virgin. Her virginity was her highest honor. She had no other. Though she was not a princess, yet her name Mary, by interpretation, signifies a princess. And though she is not the queen of heaven, yet she has right to be reckoned among the queens of earth. And though she is not the lady of our Lord, she does walk among the renowned and mighty women of Scripture. Jesus' birth was a humble one. Strange that the Lord of glory was not born in a palace. He was not wrapped in purple. He was not laid in a golden cradle prepared only for him. Queens did not dangle him upon their knees. The mighty cities which were great and famous were not the place of his birth. He came out of a village, poor and despised, even Bethlehem. And even there, he was not born in the governor's house, or in the mansions of the chief priests and scribes, but in a stable, and in a manger there he was laid. Oh, what a wondrous stoop of love, that our blessed Jesus should be girded with humility. If Jesus was laid in a manger, why should he not come and live in our hearts? If he was born in a stable, why should he not the stable of our souls be made into a habitation for him? If he was born in poverty, should not the poor in spirit expect he would be their friend? If he thus endured degradation at the first, will he count it any dishonor to come to the very poor and humblest of his creation? Oh, we get a great lesson and comfort from his humble parentage, and we can rejoice that not a queen or an empress, but that a humble woman became the mother of the Lord of glory.